Hey guys, welcome back to the Fiery Action Podcast. This is episode 3, and today's going to be all about self-love. And some of us obviously have a love-hate relationship with ourselves, and so I wanted to really touch on this because I have this problem as well. I have serious issues with not loving myself at times and giving myself a very hard time. So I thought this would be a really good thing to touch upon. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode and let me know what you guys think. Hey, you're tuned into the Fiery Action Podcast. This podcast comes out every 2 weeks and is hosted by me, Rachel Thornhill. And we talk about some very hard-hitting topics that can either fire you up or piss you off. So let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Rachel Thornhill, and as mentioned, today's topic's gonna be all about self-love. Now, with self-love, that mean that can be a lot of different things, but I know a lot of people, including myself, have love-hate relationships pretty much with ourselves. Sometimes we have negative mindsets, or we have self-doubt, or put ourselves down because of the negativity that's around us. And I really wanted to touch on that because it's a very, very important thing for everyone, no matter what walk of life you come from. If you can't love yourself, then how can you love other people? So I felt that this was a very important topic to discuss and wanted to really, touch on that. So, for myself, self-love has always been an extremely hard thing to deal with. I've always been extremely hard on myself. And this is stemming back from even in childhood. Like, this has been going on pretty much most of my life for as long as I can imagine. I've always had an issue with, I guess it was more of perfectionism. Like, if I couldn't do something exactly the way that I felt it needed to be done, I automatically consider myself a failure. Also, I was always fearful of failing. And as many of you know, if you do any type of personal development, that's one of the main things that a lot of like life coaches and just self-help books in general will talk about is the fear of failure, that a lot of people tend to be afraid of that. And that's something that you have to really get over, because you're going to fail at life. Nobody's perfect, and if you constantly are fearful of it, you'll never get over that. It'll become almost debilitating, to where it will keep you from getting where you need to be. And I did notice that. I had constant issues with not getting to certain goals that I wanted in my life, whether it was a personal goal, whether it was a financial goal or career goal, any type of goal that I would set for myself. There was a million excuses that I would come up with on why I was not going to fulfill that goal. And, whether it was just me doubting myself the whole entire time, or sometimes it was taking the negativity from other people and bringing it in onto myself. And that never helps. If you are constantly doubting yourself, but then you also, let's say you feel you want to reach out to somebody and they're doubting you when it comes to what you are capable of, then that definitely does not help you with your self-doubt, and it just makes you feel worse. So with something like that, then you're definitely not going to accomplish anything, because you're going to constantly just tell yourself that you can't do it. So I always had an issue with that. I would come up with so many different excuses and reasons why I couldn't do anything. And it's held me back over the years. There's many things that I said I was going to do, but I never did. Like, I dropped out of college. I said I was going to finish college. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. I didn't finish college, at first, for what I wanted to do, because I dropped out once I was, once I had my first kid. Being a single parent was rough. I felt I couldn't do it. I had to just get a full-time job. Yes, I ended up going back as an adult, and so now I have my doctorate in metaphysics, but through the seminary. But it took me a long time to get to that point. I mean, that was much later on in life, after I had already had my kids, or after I already had a stable career. So it's just one of those situations where I constantly put off certain things that I wanted in life, whether it had to do with catering to other people, or just me just completely doubting myself. And I still doubt myself to this day with a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I always second guess myself. When it comes to, what I plan on doing with my life in general. So, and I think that's just human nature. I think that's something that everybody goes through, that we all second guess ourselves when it's something that we push ourselves out of our comfort zone for, or something that, we've just never done before, and we don't really know what the outcome's going to be. So, but I think that's just life. We're always going to do things that we either don't want to do, or it's going to be something that we've never done, and it's going to push us out of our comfort zone. And being out of your comfort zone is actually a good thing. Most people don't like it because it makes them uncomfortable, but being uncomfortable in life is actually something that you want, because normally where you need to be in life is outside of your comfort zone. That next step to get you to whatever goal that you have is normally outside of your comfort zone, and you have to want it, and you have to push yourself towards that goal. So, and that was kind of my main issue, is I never wanted to step out of my comfort zone. I was never comfortable with doing anything out of my comfort zone, because for me, I just automatically shut it down because it was hard, because everything was hard. Was it that I was lazy? No. It wasn't that I was lazy. It was that I always had so many other things going on that I would use that as an excuse to not step out of my comfort zone and not to do, what needed to be done. And there's a difference between being busy and just doing just busy stuff and being productive. And unfortunately, at that time, I was not productive. I was doing all this busy work, and I wasn't getting anywhere. I was not getting anywhere in life, really. I was pretty much just going through the motions. So, as I've mentioned in the past, obviously I became a mom at a very young age. So, I was pregnant at 18. My oldest daughter, when she was born, I had just turned 19, like a couple months before she actually was born. So, being a young mom, and then especially at that time being a single parent, my goals in life completely did, like, I wouldn't even say a 180, I'd say like a 360, because at 19 years old, it's like, wow, I'm about to have this kid. What am I going to do with my life? Because what I thought I was going to do, I can't do anymore because I have a child to take care of. So what am I going to focus on? What am I going to do? So what I did was I was a full-time student, in college, and I dropped out of school and I went to a technical college. So I went to a technical college because I was like, okay, I can get a degree in 2 years. I can set my schedule up to where I can work at night. But guys, I struggled doing that. And also, it made me feel like a shitty parent because I never saw my daughter. Never. I never would see her. I literally worked. I went to school full time and I worked three part-time jobs. I never would see my kid. My kid lived in daycare and with my parents. And even though I lived with my parents at that time, well, for a short part of that time while I was in school, I felt as if like I was not a parent because I was never there for her. And then it just got to be too much. And then I literally dropped out of technical college a semester before I was done with my degree. I was in financial ruin. I couldn't afford to go to school anymore and work three part-time jobs. I just couldn't do it. Financially, I wasn't making enough. So I quit. I quit school, and then I found and I was like, okay, I've got to find like a 9-to-5 job. Like, I've got to get like a 9-to-5. So that's what I did. I got a 9-to-5, like most normal adults do, I got a 9-to-5. I was doing really well, for somebody my age, obviously. I was making, wow, that was so long ago. I was making $9.50 an hour, and that was back in like you were talking about like 2006, 2005, 2006. That was actually pretty good for for somebody that was literally just like right out of high school, because I had some college experience, but not much. So that would have been 2006, 2007, around that time. Yeah, 2006. So I did that, and it was good money, and it helped me get out of my parents' house. I had my own place. My kid was in daycare, but because I had a 9-to-5 job, I got to spend more time with her. So in my mind, that was like the best thing at the time. It was hard because I didn't live with my parents anymore. I was literally 100% on my own. And I realized how unprepared I was to be an adult. I was. Because yeah, I had paid bills while I lived in my parents' house, but I wasn't paying like utilities and like rent. No. I had a car note and car insurance and those minor things, those things, but I didn't have rent and I didn't have utilities to pay every month and those things like that. So I had all these extra bills and stuff, and I was living on my own with my kid, maxing out credit cards, not being smart at all, because I was literally having to do that, having to live off my paycheck plus living off credit cards just for us to survive. And it was a shitty way to live. So I always had this weird mindset, that I only thought about my kid. I didn't think about myself, because I was like, okay, it's no longer about me. It's never about me anymore. It's only about her, and that I make sure that she's taken care of, and that I do everything that I need to do to make sure that she is okay, and that she's fed, and that she has a roof over her head, and all of that. And the one, and I always felt ashamed of being a teen mom, okay? And I don't know, like, it was something that always hurt me, because I did. I got ridiculed for being a young parent, because of the fact that, I mean, what parent wouldn't ridicule their kid because it's almost as if, like, they just threw their life away, you were supposed to go to college and get a good job and graduate and get a good job and then get married and have kids and blah blah blah, the typical norm. But no, I ended up becoming a college dropout and having a kid and being pregnant at 18 and having a kid at 19, raising a kid, working a 9-to-5 job, with not very, very much school experience, because that was all that I could do at that time. But I mean, shit happens. Your life never goes. I mean, if you're lucky, sure, your life could probably go the way that you want it, but for most people, your life never goes exactly the way that you want it to go. And I don't regret anything that I don't regret any of it. Because honestly, it's made me the person I am today, and I'm very grateful for that. But it's been a very long road that I've had to go through, and I had to very mature at a very young age, because obviously I wasn't just taking care of myself, I was having to take care of someone else. But at the same time, I had a really hard time taking care of myself, because I pretty much just gave up on myself as a person. I just became someone else's mom, and that was my identity, and that was it. I no longer really had my own identity anymore. And so I didn't do, self-care stuff or anything like that as a mom for a very long time. And we're talking about probably, I didn't really start doing any type of self-care and stuff until shit hit the fan and my medical issues started taking, I started having serious medical issues. And then that's when I realized, okay, I need to slow the hell down, and I need to do, I need to do something, because I'm literally falling apart. I've always been really rough on myself, period. Whether it's And people, a lot of people will be like, but they'll try to make me feel good about myself, and I get it, and I know people are doing it out of the goodness of their heart. But when you say that, it still doesn't change how I feel about myself. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that feels that way, because, like, for example, if somebody tells me, that I look really nice or something like that, There will be days that I'm literally telling myself that I look like shit, okay? Or that I'm fat. Even though most people were like, there's no way you're sticks and bones, blah, blah, blah. No. In my mind, I am never the weight that I want to be, okay? And the thing is, yeah, you could look at like my pant size or something like that, and you'll be like, God, I would kill to, it's, you know, some people say that. They're like, I would kill to be that small. But when you have a mental illness, when you've had mental illness issues for so long, a lot of that stuff does not go away. You know, I've mentioned this before on Facebook, but I've never mentioned this on podcasts, in which I will go more into depth on this in another podcast, because I don't want to go full into depth because that would literally be a whole nother episode within itself. But I suffer from mental illness, and also I had an eating disorder for a very long time. I suffered from bulimia nervosa, and I had this problem since I was a teenager. So I really started doing that when I was 13. From 13 until I would say until I got pregnant. So that would have been from 13 to 18. And the thing is, I still struggled with it, but I knew I had to really feed myself and not do what I needed to do because obviously I was pregnant. But I still struggle. I still struggle with it even now, where there's tendencies where I feel like I've gained too much weight, or that I look bad, or that I still have a love-hate relationship with food. I still do to this day. It's not something I think that will ever go away. I do a lot better with it now, than what I used to, but I think it's just something that people don't realize. You can struggle with some type of disorder or mental illness. And when I, also when I say mental illness, I do have ADD, but I also have anxiety. I do have anxiety issues, and also depression as well. Depression-wise, I have done so much better. I have more anxiety issues now than depression. My depression's been a lot more controlled. But I am doing all of this not medicated. I mean, the only thing that I use is CBD oil now on a consistent basis, which helps quite a bit. But so when you have all of this on top of medical issues, and because I have two autoimmune diseases. So I have celiac disease, and I also have POTS syndrome. So with all of that, and just, you know, just a constant being sick all the time and everything, that's when I realized that I really needed to learn how to love myself and not be so hard on myself, and to actually take care of myself, because my self-care was extremely lacking, obviously. Because I mean, I just kept getting sicker and sicker, and obviously when you're a mom, most of us, you know, most of the people that listen to this podcast are moms. If you're not doing well, like physically, mentally, how can you take care of your kid? You know, like you have to be there for your kids, and you have to show up 100% all the time, no matter how sick you are. But It's like, how can I be there for my kid when I'm emotionally and I'm mentally and physically falling apart? So it's just an insane thing when you're trying to be there for your kid, but you know that mentally and physically you're not there. Or, and you're sick all the time, and like that's pretty much all your kid remembers of most of their childhood is that, my mom was practically sick, almost sick all the time, or never there. Like, how would that make you feel? Because, I was like hardly ever there for my kid. I was hardly ever there for her. I really wasn't around. I mean, m a lot more until she was much older, until she was around 3. So you're talking about a 3-year gap where she didn't really get to see me, and those are like major milestone times. Like, I didn't get to see her walk for the first time. I didn't get to hear her talk for the first time. That was all done in daycare. She walked for the first time in daycare. Luckily, my mom worked at the daycare that my daughter went to, so my mom got to see all of it. She spoke her first word with my mom. That's upsetting for a parent. And so it's like, I started to really have self-doubt then as well, because it's like being a new mom and everything. It's like, man, am I doing enough? Am I a good mom? Or am I a really shitty mom because I'm never there with my kid, and I'm never, I constantly work all the time, and I'm not able to show up like I want to. And then with my medical issues that I was having, it's like, man, like I can't physically do things with my kid like what most parents can do. And it's heartbreaking. And I had to learn how to come to terms with being okay with that, being like, I'm still good enough, even though sometimes, my kid couldn't see me because I had to work to provide, to keep a roof over her head. There's just many things like that where it's like I was so hard on myself, but really I shouldn't have been because I was doing what I had to at that time. And then, like, fast forward, when my oldest daughter was 6 months old, that's when I met my husband. And things changed, because I had another person with me, obviously, that had my back. And then also he loved Michaela, my oldest daughter, unconditionally, and took her as his own, and that lifted a huge burden off my shoulders. It did, because I had a partner in life now. I didn't feel alone, and it made my journey through life, up till now, a blessing, trust me. Because he has always been the person that's been in my corner. And I mean, we're talking about going on 14 years now, because I mean, because my oldest, she'll be 14 in May. So, I mean, we've been together that long, and it's just, I've just ever so grateful for him being there for me, because that has helped me as well with my self-confidence and my self-doubt, because sometimes you just need another person that has your back and that can fully support you in what you choose to do with your life. And it was funny how once I moved in with my husband, it, I still really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Even though, you know, because like I said, I was just going through the motions. I never really knew what I wanted to do. And I honestly still didn't know what I wanted to do up until literally like of just a couple years ago. Just a few years ago, what I wanted to do with my life. And in a lot of it was I was always asking for permission on what to do with my own life. Guys, never do that. Don't ever ask somebody what you should do in your life. Don't. It's one of the worst things you can do, because you're pretty much giving someone else permission to take over your life. You are. And my husband was the one that told me. He's like, why are you asking me what you should do with your own life? Even though we were already partners, you know, in a relationship, he's like, who am I to tell you what your goals in life should be? That's literally what he told me. And I'm like, well, I feel I should ask you because we're in a relationship together. He's like, yeah, if it has something to do with our actual relationship. But if you want to go for a certain career, or if you want to do, you know, a certain hobby, or if you want to do a business or whatever, who am I to say that you can't do that? You know, and I was taken aback for a minute, because I was like, so I'm not supposed to ask you for permission. And see, and I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that I grew up too fast. I was naive. I didn't really think about that I didn't need to ask anybody for permission anymore. You know, I mean, you would think I knew I was an adult, but at the same time, I was an adult that didn't know how to adult. You know how a lot of us will be like, you know, like we hate adulting, right? The thing is, I really didn't even know the first thing about really being an adult. The only thing I really knew was, yeah, okay, you know, you go to college, whatever, you pay bills, you know, you get a job, you know, then you get married, have kids, whatever. That's it. I just knew, like, the milestone things that a lot of people talk about, but I really didn't know how to fully be an adult. And I didn't know how to stop asking people for permission to do things in my life. And he was the one that broke me of that. Like, why am I asking another adult what to do in my own life? Like, why should I be doing that? Shouldn't I be making that decision on my own? But I didn't think of it that way. I thought that I literally had to ask my husband for everything. You know, I became dependent on him for not just for support, but I became, you know, financially dependent on him, because obviously there was many times where I did not work, especially once I had our youngest. There was times where I stayed home and I did not work whenever I had her, because she was pretty ill, our youngest. She had like immune deficiency issues and stuff, and she was born like a month early, so we had, you know, we had some issues with that. And so it was best for me to stay home. And because I stayed home, that's why, I became a lot more dependent on him, and became like more financially dependent on him, because we weren't a two income household anymore. We were a one income household. And you know, things like that. So I guess I felt I needed to ask permission more because of the fact that, you know, he was the only one that was working, he was the only one that was providing, and I wasn't. And I know it's a weird mentality, but that was just, I guess that was how I felt, because I felt, he's the one that's doing everything. I'm just at home with the kids. Not saying that being a stay-at-home mom that you don't do anything, because that's not true. I mean, you do a lot when you're a stay-at-home mom, and trust me, I know. I'm technically a stay-at-home mom now, but I still work. I work from home, so I know what that's like. But at the same time, I'm also trying to run a household, work, and homeschool my kids at the same time. So I have a very busy schedule now compared to what it used to be. And I think sometimes the self-doubt can come into play then, because I'm kind of like, how am I going to handle all of these things at one time and still be sane? And I'm sure there's plenty of moms out there that are, homeschooling their kids and working from home, trying to build some type of extra income and trying to keep their household together. And I applaud all the women that do that. I applaud all the stay-at-home moms and the women that work outside of the house and have to come home and pretty much work all over again. I mean, moms are just, honestly, sometimes I wonder if we're even human, because we just juggle so many different things in life at one time, and most of us never complain about it at all, because we know that we're doing it to take care of our families, and we do whatever we can to provide for our families. But at the same time, a lot of us, and this comes, with the whole self-love thing, is that we put ourselves on the back burner. I know. I mean, I do it all the time. I put myself on the back burner, and it's just something that we all have to learn to not do. We have to take care of ourselves and put ourselves first. It sounds really, really selfish. It does. And that, I think that's one of the things that made me not want to do self-care at first, because you hear the word self, self, and sometimes it can make you feel as if it's selfish, and that it's something that you're not supposed to do, because it's been instilled in us that we always have to put our families first and we're not supposed to put ourselves first. And when it really should be the other way around, within reason. Okay, I mean, I'm not telling you to just go out and do things for yourself and just be like, fuck my kids, who cares? Like, I'm not doing anything for them. No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you do need to take a step back sometimes and pay attention to your health. Make sure that you're not running yourself ragged to the point where you're going to run yourself into the ground, and then you're going to be stuck in bed for 3 to 4 days because you're so sick that you can't do anything for your kids or do anything for your husband, because, or your, whoever your partner may be. Because then your whole entire household kind of falls. I wouldn't say falls apart, but like just the routine fall, can get all messed up, because when you're sick and you're down, your household is extremely affected. And us moms, we know this, because when you go down hard normally, and then guess what? That's normally when everybody needs you the most, is when you're sick and you can't do anything for them. So I always found that that was something that was very hard for me to do, was to really take care of myself. And I still do this today. It's something that I just think it's just a mom thing because a lot of us do it. And I just think it's just something like you just eventually will start doing more of taking care of yourself, and really watching, what you do because it can, I mean, being a mom can be physically and mentally draining. It can. And it's not saying that your kids are bad or that, your kids are hard to deal with. It's just that it's a lot going on. Especially if you're trying to juggle other things as well and not just being a mom. Because just being a mom is hard enough within itself, but if you're juggling a job on top of that, whether that means you're outside of the house or even work or working from home, and then you're trying to, especially if you homeschool, or even not, if your kids have extracurricular activities outside of school, I mean, there's just so much that moms have to do, and you have to kind of keep the whole family in line because everybody has different schedules and things like that. It can be a lot, and it can really do a number on your mental health and your physical health. Just trying to pretty much just run all over the place 24/7, I mean, and especially for the moms that have little ones, like kids that are a lot smaller, especially infants, where you're not gonna get 8 hours of sleep every night. Those moms have it even harder and really have to watch, how their, mental and physical health is because, if they go down, they go down. And it, when you have an infant that's waking up every 2 to 3 hours, sometimes sometimes they don't even feel like they don't sleep at all. That can be rough. So I definitely think that that's something that all moms and anybody, to be honest, anybody needs to take that into consideration is their self-care because that does have to do with self-love. I mean, it's part of it. If you don't take care of yourself, then it's as if like you don't, it's still part of not loving yourself when you don't take care of yourself. You hear this saying that your body is a temple. Okay. It is because if your body isn't taken care of, everything shuts down. Your mind isn't there, your heart's not where it needs to be. Everything, physically and mentally, your body is what controls all of that. So you cannot show up 100% in your life if you don't take care of your body. Your body is everything. Your body is you. Your body is what keeps you going through the day. If you don't take care of it, then eventually your body starts telling you that something's wrong and it starts to shut down. We know this. I mean, especially when you're sick, that's what it is. Your body kind of starts to shut down and then your body needs to recover to get back to normal. And sometimes we push ourselves so much, and that can be stress or anything like that. Stress or just constantly running, pretty much running full sprint through life and never slowing down. That it can happen where your body just wants to go down, go in survival mode and just shut down. And that's when shit hits the fan and then it's like you gotta take a step back. But self-love is very important. We whether it means that you need to reach out to another person because you just need help because you can and you because you feel like you can't love yourself, do it. If you struggle with some type of mental illness that keeps you from loving yourself, especially if it's gonna make you harm yourself, reach out to somebody, or somebody that you love and that you trust, or if there's no one that you can reach out to, then, you can call. They have hotlines, especially I know they have the suicide prevention hotline if it's that bad for you, or I'm sure there's other hotlines, mental health, like behavioral health type hotlines that you can call. But definitely reach out to anyone, someone that can that will just even lend an ear and just let you vent. Sometimes that's what people need. And sometimes sometimes people feel more comfortable saying it to a person that they don't know because they feel it's not as judgmental, like the person won't judge them as much. And that person doesn't really have a bias because they don't know you personally. And I get that. That was part of the reason why I chose to talk to a therapist instead of family anymore about my mental issues, about my mental health issues and my eating disorder, because of the fact that, not to say that they were judgmental, but it sometimes it's just harder to talk to family members about things that you have going on and like your inner demon. It's, I guess you could say, your inner demons or inner struggles that you have. Sometimes it's harder to talk about that stuff with family, and sometimes you don't want family to know. And I get that. I was kind of at that point. Or there'd be times where my family just didn't get it. They didn't really know what my struggles were because no matter how I explained it, it almost sounded juvenile, like as if it wasn't a big deal, or they would think that I was just complaining, or that what I was saying was, that it wasn't very serious. And a lot of times it was way more serious than what they thought. But the problem with mental illness and eating disorders and things like that is that it's all invisible. Nobody really knows that you're sick because they can't see it. They can't see the inner struggle that you go through on a daily basis. There's no way to see an invisible illness. So with invisible illnesses, a lot of people just shrug them off and they make it seem as if like they're not real, or that, or that you're making things up, or that you're complaining about your life when you just need to suck it up and you need to just go on. When that's not okay, guys, never think that mental illness is just made up. It's not. I mean, we know that mental illnesses are not made up, but it's like now people will like judge you and ridicule you when you say that something that you have something, but they can't see it, so they don't believe it. And I think mental illness is so, it's so important to not judge people that have mental illnesses, or to not ridicule them because you just don't think that that's true, that they have one, because you can't tell, because you can't see, because the symptoms, you just don't see it. A lot of us are very good at hiding our illnesses. And a lot of it is because of stigma, because there's so much stigma around mental illnesses, because people think you're crazy. Because And I don't think it helps that like media and especially like movies, like, you see psych wards and stuff and people think that, oh, if you have mental illness, you need to be in a psychiatric facility or something. No, I mean, a lot of us get through life and function with society as normal as we possibly can, but we're still not normal. I mean, because this wouldn't be considered an illness if it was normal. But at the same time, it's scary to even admit that you have an issue because some people think you're unfit to do anything. Like, I remember this happened many years ago, but I had actually came out and mentioned that I had a mental illness, and I got ridiculed, and pretty much because I was a mother, and I was told how my kids should have been taken from me, because how can I be a mom if I have a mental illness? Because then I'm not doing my kids any justice. That like I can't take care of a kid if I have a mental illness. That's not true. Just because you have a mental illness does not mean that that makes you any less of a mom. As long as I have it under control, I don't see why I can't be a mother. And so, see, that's another reason why I have such low self. That's why I always had low self-esteem and low self-confidence, and that's why I really didn't love myself, because I would start blaming myself for having a mental illness or having an eating disorder because I felt that that was selfish. I felt that it was making me focus more on myself and I needed to be focusing on my kids. And nobody that is struggling with anything, mental illness or whatever it is, should ever have to feel like that. And so that's why I share my story now, and I hope that it helps someone else. And that's why, and that was part of the reason why I started this podcast, is to use this platform to talk about hard shit like this, because most people don't want to talk about this. Most people don't want to talk about any of this at all. And, because it's controversial and it's a stigma, and it shouldn't be. We should be better than this. I mean, it's 2000 fucking 19. We should not still be ridiculing people for mental illness anymore. We've known about mental illnesses for a very long time now. There's no reason that people should think of anyone with a mental illness any differently. And also, we all do need to learn how to love ourselves more. A lot of us, we bash our own selves, and then we take the other things that people say about us and we use that against ourselves. And we can't do that, because we all need to be strong, and we all need to be there for ourselves first, and then for our kids and our partners. But you can't do that if you're constantly doubting yourself. You have to believe that you are good enough, no matter what it is, no matter if you're having a shitty day, whatever. You still have to think that you're still good enough to be the mom that you are, the wife that you are, the partner that you are, the person that you are. Because you are a person and you're a human being, and we all make mistakes, and none of us are perfect. No human being is perfect. And we have to be okay with that and accept it. So, guys, I know this was a very long episode, but I feel that this was something that needed to be said, and that we all need to just learn to have more love in our lives and be more loving towards each to ourselves and also to other people. But we can't be loving towards other people if we don't love ourselves, because it will come off as fake. It will come off as if something's wrong with you. I mean, your emotions won't be hidden, no matter how much you try. And you don't want to go through life like that. So that's all for me. I appreciate you guys listening to this whole episode, and let me know what you think, and I will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. So keep fighting the good fight. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're officially on 4 platforms. So we're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and also Anchor. So you can stay up to date with the podcast and subscribe on any 4 of those platforms. And you can also leave a review, which I would appreciate, because I'd love to have any feedback that you guys give me. So until next time, take care.